Okay, we're going to start here at the two dots on the top of Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. We're going to discuss the last part of the Mishnah, which is really not connected to the first half of the Mishnah, but something we've seen a number of times, which is Rachel she'oldam min eiz, ve'eiz she'oldam min Rachel, ptura min ha-bechora, and then v'im yesh bo miksat simanim, chayav. Sa'ata Rav Oshaya min Ardo, v'ayti matnita bi'odei. He had a brighter in his hand, Rachel bat eiz, ve'eiz bat Rachel, Rabbi Meir Michayev v'chachamim potrim. So that's what he has. He has this keta, he has this little piece from the Braita, but he doesn't know what the reference point is. What's this about? We know that we have Rabbi Meir's position, Chachamim's position, but about what are they speaking? So Amar Le Rab Hoshaya, the Rabbah. So I don't know if this is the same Rab we just saw before, Oshaya. Here it's Rab Hoshaya. So Rab Hoshaya says the Rabbah, ki ayot l'kameh the Rav Huna, when you go to Rav Huna, by minei, ask him, Rabbi Meir Michayev Lamai. So what is this talking about? This bright over here, what is it referencing? If you say it's referencing Bechora, Velele the Rabbi Meir doesn't have the pasuk. We saw this earlier. Ach Bechor Shor, Achehehu, Shor, Ubechoro Shor. And we learned out of that fact that it made a demand that not only that the mother be a shor, but the child be a shor similar to the mother. Ella, what do you want to suggest? It's L'Reshita Gaze. For the first shearings, he doesn't have this limud of Tanabe Shmuel that kavasim shit simran kashib to remerate the shita gaze, something we also saw earlier, that if the tzemer has to be soft tzemer, because we said it has to be lamodu l'sharet, that the tzemer has to be usable for bigadim, for chimum, to warm you up, it has to be functional tzemer in order to be chayav in reshita gaze, in emar. And we learned that out from the Pasuk in Iyob, where it says, when he gives kivsa yit chamem, and that they warmed themselves from the shearings of my sheep. So we see that the word days is associated with chimum. So only if it functions in the aspect of chimum as being clothing, soft wool, is it classified as gaze. Otherwise it won't be gaze, and then you won't have reshita gaze. Correct, that's a good point. It's on a aze, it's on a goat. And therefore, we assume that whatever's on the goat, if it's hair, then for sure not, because that's where we brought up the fact that it's not called gaze when it's the hair of a goat. And we assume if it is this goat, but it has wool on it, then the wool is not going to be nice wool, soft wool. It's going to be a harder wool because it is a goat or a derivative of a goat. Because the tzemer, as Rashi says, the tzemer izim kashehu. The wool of goats is kasheh. They really don't have wool. They really have hair. And if it does have wool, it's going to be a hardened wool. So then he says to Marmalei, Naksayana, says, why should we have to ask the Rav Huna? Let's figure it out ourselves. Hacha, my skin, what are we doing with here? Rachel, she odam in Eiz, that the Rachel gave birth to an Eiz, the Aviv Tayish, and its father was a goat. So you have a goat mating with a ewe that produces a kid. Ubrachoshishim lezerahav, and we question here is whether we worry about the father's input in terms of, Linyan otoved beno. When it comes to Otoved Beno, we had a machloket. If you remember in the Gemara Chulin, the Rabbanan believe Otoved Beno only applies to the mother and the child. The child can be a Zachar or an Ekeva, but the Otoved Beno, the mother is the only relevant factor here. Whereas we had the position of Hananya who said that it even applies to the father. We're worried. Rechoshishin lezera'av. That the father also has impact in terms of Otoved Beno. So that's what Kamiflagate. Or Meir Sabar, Choshishin lezera'av. Meir says we are a Choshish lezera'av. And therefore, you can have here a question of the father, who being a Taish, and the child who is an Eiz, and we have to worry about Oto Ve'etmeno. Rabbanan Sarei in Choshishim Zera'av. We don't worry about the Zera'av, and Zera'av has no impact over here. So Mara says, if that's what they're arguing about, let's go with Choshishim Zera'av, Ba'alma. Why are you arguing in this particular case of Oto Ve'etmeno? Why don't they argue about the fundamental issue of whether Choshishin Lezera'a Ba'alma? Pugda de Chananya v'Rabbonon. Question of Chananya Rabbonon, which is whether the father is meaningful. So why are you arguing about, well, it seems to be a non-referenced machloket when we have a major machloket on this issue? Let it be in that context.
So we can't suggest that Rabbi Meir would only hold Choshishin Lezera'a in case of the child like the father. Are we saying that he holds that way generally and therefore...
It's not just about being the same, it's about whether the father is ever classified as being a problem of Oto Ve'etmeno. Meaning that if you hold that father is not relevant, even when the father is also a sheep and the daughter is a sheep, shechting the father has no impact on the children. You can check them on the same day. it's irrelevant what the father's species is, because the father is irrelevant.
Only when the child looks like the father.
Right, but that's not the limud. The limud in chulin isn't related to whether you look like the father or not. It's rather whether the father is. Does there a din of otov ebeno in a father? Period. Ella the olam libchora must be that we're talking about a case of bechora. V'hachom ayiskinan berachel bat Rachel bat Eiz. This is a second generation Rachel. You had a ewe born to a goat, and then another ewe born. Now, truthfully, it can't be a ewe because bechora only applies to males. When we say Rachel here, we mean from the family of the Rachel. And that's a sheep. You have a sheep born to a ewe that was born to a goat. Marsa var zilbatarime. Look at the mother. It looks like its mother. Its mother is sheep. It's a sheep. I love nidmehu. So it's not a problem, nidman. You're chayav in bechora. That's Rabbi Meir. Marsa var zilbatarime dime. Look back up the line. You see that its grandmother was a goat. And if its grandmother was a goat, then it is still classified as I nidmehu. This is still nidmeh, because it's a derivative of the goat family. Even though it looks like its mother, nevertheless, its grandmother, its family, was really a family of goats.
It's
a miyut, so ain't a matzoi. Unless you knew about it, you wouldn't worry about it. Right, there's a threshold. So Tosa spoke about it earlier in the Masechta about certain things that it's when it's lo shkicha. We'll see it again today, actually, with Ifshal the Tamsi. The things that are lo shkicha, they're not within your purview of being choshesh. Even if you believe that it would add up to make a robe and this and that, but there are certain things that are so far-fetched that we don't worry about them. So this is one of those cases where it's so far-fetched. V'id v'yedeim, as I'm saying, it's Rachel bat Eiz bat Rachel. Again, not a Rachel, but a sheep that was born to a goat that was born to a ewe. Marsa v'chazara seyut limkoman. It's back in its element. So therefore, you're chayav. That's Rabbi Meir. This Rachel is really the granddaughter, or it's really a grandson of a ewe. So what? The mother got in the way in the middle. But anyway, it's from a lineage of sheep, so it's fine. The Rabbanan say no. If the mother is an Eiz, and then it's a ewe, or this is a sheep, what the grandmother was is irrelevant. Ravashi Amar Kigon, Sheish Bo Mikzat Simanim. The case that we're speaking about here is when it's a little bit like its mother. It has certain qualities, characteristics that are like its mother. Man Chachamim, what we saw earlier, Rabbi Shimon, the Amar Achev Roshov Rubo Domele Imo. Rabbi Shimon makes a demand that the animal be roshov rubo domeli imo, and mikzat simanim is not sufficient. So Rabbi Meir will say mikzat simanim is sufficient, therefore yechayav in bechora. The chachamim is not just the general chachamim, but shitat Rabbi Shimon, who says you need roshov rubo domeli. It's not enough that it's a little bit alike. It has to be roshov rubo alike, meaning majority, almost all like the mother. Since that fails over here, you're a patur. So Ravashi narrows that machloket down to this case of mikzat simanim, more of a machloket about what is considered to be nidmeh. How much do you have to be similar to the mother or different from the mother in order to be classified as nidmeh? And that'll be a machloket between Rabbi Meir saying mikzat simanim and Rabbi Shimon saying ajei roshov rubo domelimo. So then along comes Amar Rabbi Yochanan, mudeh Rabbi Meir, b'sa'ir shel Rosh Chodesh. Even though Rabbi Meir is michayev in bechora here, he does not classify this as a nidmeh. In the case of, for instance, Rachel bat Eiz, or in the case of Rachel bat Eiz bat Rachel, the Be'inan, on Rosh Chodesh, you can't say that, the Be'inan ben Si'ira. There we require a pure goat family. So here we're talking about the Musafim on Rosh Chodesh, the Si'ir lechatat. Truthfully, and Tosot then Rashi points out that it's not just Si'ir lechodesh, it's even for the Regalim as well, all the Si'irim of the Regalim, that's the Si'ir lechatat. Rosh Chodesh just happens to be the first of those that demand a Si'ir lechatat. So then, Ben Seir, my time, Amakra, Echad. Seir Chatat Echad, Ha Miyuchad. It has to be the special one, the unique one. Uba Mimishit Shit Bereshit. So it has to be that it has a pure beard. It's a pure bed from Sheshime Bereshit, a Seir. They need Yichus. He has to come with his Yichus papers. Make sure that he's really a goat family. Rabbi says, Vaha Mehalcha Nafka, we need to learn that out of this. Mehalcha Nafka, we have another pasuk that tells us that already. Which is, Shor Okesev Oeis. So sure, kesev prat lekilayim, oeis prat lenidmeh. So we know already that you can't bring a nidmeh as a korban. Tzricha, we need both of them. Dimi hotom, had we only had the pasuk in Emor that taught us that you can't have a nidmeh, hava mina hani mila hecha delo nochat ledorei. That's as long as it didn't go back far enough. Hava hecha de nochat, emalo. Let's just say that if you had a nidmeh that was one generation back, we would say no good. But if you went a number of generations back and it was a goat, that would be enough. That'd be sufficient. So then it comes along the limud that we have here of Yimiyuchad and says not only is it if it's just a generation back, but even multiple generations. You have to go all the way back to Maaseh Bereishit. It has to be a purebred goat. If we only had our limud here of miyuchad, that's only true by a korban chuba because it's written by the si'iri chatat of the musafim and Rosh Chodesh and the regalim. Those are all korbanot chuba. Aval nidava, if it comes to a korban davar, lo. Therefore, I need the pasuk and emor to teach me that it applies broadly to all korbanot. So they are symbiotic. The relationship between these two limudim is symbiotic. One is teaching us that it has application, meaning the case in Emor, the pasuk in Emor is teaching us that applies both to Karbanot Chovot as well as the Karbanot Nidava. On the other hand, our limud over here of Miuchad is teaching us that it's not enough that it's similar to its mother. We want it to be similar all the way back. We want a pure bad goat all the way back to Maseh Bereshit. Tamar Rav Yaakov Bar Yaakov Hakol Modim Dein Bukim Al Tzimaro Mishum Kilayim. This creation that we have mentioned in our Mishnah, which is a Rachel Bat Eiz, or an Eiz Bat Rachel, you don't get Malkot on its wool. If you put it together with Pishtan and you make it into Kilayim, Shneamar, Dotu Bash Shatneiz, Ma Pishtan Shalo Nishtana, just like Pishtan is flax, it's purebred flax, so you know, it's not a mixture, it doesn't come out if it's a mixed breed. Abtzemer Shalo Nishtana. Also, the wool here has to be from a sheep, not from something that is this strange creation. Amar Papa, Akol Modim, Shitzmaro, Pasol, Etchelet. Everybody agrees you can't use the tzemer for tchelet in tzitzit, shenamar, lo tobash shatneiz, gidilim taselecha, ma pishtan shalo nishtana. Again, just like pishtan is steady, doesn't have any of this change, you have tzemer shalo nishtana, you have to have wool, but it's also not in this, coming from this strange creation. This is a case where it's a rachel bateiz. We have one generation. Here we're talking about the regular type of nidmeh. That demand for multiple generations is miyuchad, that's from Siyur the Rosh Chodesh, from that limud of Siyur Rosh Chodesh, that's not a general demand. Here we're talking about the case of our Mishnah, Rachel Badeis, and in all these cases, they're saying that this does not qualify to be the wool that the Torah is speaking about, both by Shatneiz, by Tzitzit, and now we're going to see it again. Again, it's a miyut, right? Not going to be choshesh for these far-fetched cases. So if it happens, then you have this din. But we're not going to be choshesh that every Rachel that you find that the wool was possibly from an Eitz, we're not going to be choshesh for that type of miyut. This is a miyut she'enu matzui. Alright. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Akol Modim, She'en Tzimaro Mitamei Mindegayim. The same thing here, that you require Tzemer and Pishtan are the Nigei Begadim that can have Nigayim. And over there, again, if this Tzemer is the item that has a neg on it, she'enemar, Babeget Tzemer, Obebeget Pishtim, Ma Pishtim Shalom Nishtana, Av Tzemer Shalom Nishtana. So again, this limud, or there's a hekesh between Tzemer and Pishtim. Just like Pishtim, there is no change, it comes as a pure bread. So to over here, we require by the wool that it comes from a pure sheep, meaning that its mother is not an Eiz. And therefore, all of these are disqualified, either from performing the mitzvah or not in the category of the lotase or in the tuma. So now, Amar Ravashi Av Anan Namar, Hidla Gefen Al Gabi Teina. If a person puts a grapevine, on top of a fig tree, you know, pasul nisachim. The wine that is the product of this will be problematic for nisachim, haitama. Zevach unisachim. Ma zevach shalom nishtana. Just like the zevach, we have to bring a purebred zevach. Av nisachim shalom nishtanu. So too, by the libations, you have to bring something that didn't change. So matkiv le'ravina. So if that's the case, hidla pishtan al gabihiga. If he put the pishtan, the flax, on top of some other, like thorn bush, or something that grows in the area of the pishtan, hakanami delishtane. Also, if that's the case, you'll call it that it's not pishtan anymore. It's not pishtan anymore. Then you run into a problem, all the limudim we had before. Imkein, lo matzid amar, ma pishtan shelo nishtana. How could you have this case of pishtan that was not affected by anything else? Here it's being affected by something else. How do you know the pishtan is pure bread? So Gemara says, ha pishtan nami mishtani. Amalei, ze nishtana recho, ze lo nishtana recho. By the pishtan, even when you put it together with the hegeh, you still get pishtan. Nothing changes about the pishtan itself. Here by the wine, and we know this is true by grapes, the grapes are influenced by the soil, as well as the other trees in the area, in terms of their flavor, in terms of the flavor that they impart to the wine. And so over here, when you put the gefen onto the teina, it impacted the wine's flavor, the wine's taste. It smelled, whatever the properties of the wine were affected by this. Since the properties of wine are affected by it, that we consider to be nishtana. But over here by the pishtan, where it's not affected by being placed together with hegeh in the same patch, over there we're going to say that it has no impact. It's still pure pishtan. Pishtan is the same pishtan that you would have planted it by itself as when you planted it with the hegeh. So now we move on to the next mishnah. This next mishnah is one of the major sources in Shas for what's called efshar l'tzamtzem. is there a possibility of two things happening exactly simultaneously? Is there such a concept? And this is a major machloket both in the Gemara as well as in the Rishonim as to how to understand this. So we'll try to expand on it, and then in the end we'll summarize, hopefully. Rachel shelo bichra, you have a ewe that never gave birth yet, ve'yalda shnei zicharim, gives birth to two males, ve'tzu shnei rashayim ke'achat, they are born simultaneously, twins, twin boys born simultaneously, that would be bichorim, ve'yosek li'omer shneim l'koin. They both go to the Kohen, Shinamar, Hazicharim Lashem in the plural, Hazicharim. You know, if there are multiple Bechorim here, they go to the Kohen. Chamim Arim, E, Efshar, Litzamtseim. There is possible. So what does that mean? So if you look in Rashi here, E, Efshar, Litzamtseim, Rashi says, Shiatsu Shnei Shem Kechad, Ela Echad Yetzat Chila, Beliodin and Hainihu. Rashi says that it's impossible to have them come out simultaneously. It's just we, it's our shortcoming. We are unable to see the fact that which one came out first. But Rashi says it over here that it's impossible. That meaning when you say that Eif Shalat Tzamtzeim, it means it will never happen. There is no such thing as an AA tie. You can't have a tie, you can't have something that's exact. It's a matter of our human capabilities about discerning. But otherwise, there's no such thing as a tie. The Rambam in Perusha Mishnah Note says the same thing, as well as in Mishnah Torah, in Bechorah, Tuchat Bechorah, Perkei Aloch Aleph, he says the same thing as well. That Eif Shalat Tzamtzeim means impossible.
Does that mean that it just can't happen?
But Rashi is saying it cannot happen, period. And so does the Rambam. The wording that they use is impossible. If you look in the Tosafot, there's a massive Tosafot on the Umud Bet here. Tosafot suggests otherwise. He suggests that it could happen. It's just, there are photo finishes, except we just don't have the ability or the time to deal with it. In birth, it just happens too fast. If we could sit around for 2 hours, 3 hours and figure it out, we'd be able to see which was first. The problem is that birth is a process that's moving, it's a high speed, and you can't make a decision. A human being can't discern it. But it's possible to have a photo finish, to have a tie. That's a big difference. Tosafot believes there is a possibility of the tzamtzeim, it's just we are unable to discern. On the other hand, when Rashi says you have shalat tzamtzeim, he says it just doesn't happen. It's impossibility, it just doesn't happen at all. Exactly, today would make a difference, assuming that you could capture exactly the moment that you need, but yes. Right, the threshold. The nafkamina between Rashi and Tosfot is that Rashi would say no matter what the technology is, it's irrelevant because we know that it's impossible for them to be together. One of them will be first, but the technology, maybe we'll figure out which one, but it's impossible to have a tie. Tosfot suggests that it is possible to have a tie. And that's how he explains the Yafshah the Tzamtzeim here. It is possible, but it's irrelevant in human terms because human beings can't deal with the fact that it was together. Ela echado ve'echado kohen. So the Chachamim say he keeps one, he gives one to the kohen because only one of them is a bechor. Which one? Rabbi Tarfon Omer, a kohen bar lo et yofe. Rabbi Tarfon says the kohen gets to pick the better one. Kiv Omer mishamnim b'nehem v'sheni yireh ad shistev. Kiva seems to say like they're splitting it, but the Gemara is going to suggest that Rabbi Kiva says that the kohen gets the kachush. He gets the weaker one. He gets the lesser of the two. And the second one is Yirat Shistev. He still gets a moment the owners will eat it. That's true by the Kohen as well. The Kohen has to let his graze until it gets a mum, because he can't put it on the Mizbeach. There's a Chashash Kulin Bazara. We don't know if this is the real Bechor. So he also has to wait until it gets a mum, and then he can eat it Bimumo. V'chaya b'matanot. The reason that we mention the Israel's behemah, not the coins behemah, as Rashi points out, is because we have to say chayav b'matanot. By coin, it's not true. The coins behemah is not chayav b'matanot. The Israel's will be chayav b'matanot because it didn't chulin. Rabbi Yossi poter. Rabbi Yossi says it's not chayav in matanot. Meit echad mehem. One of them dies. Rabbi Tarfon omer yachloku. They split the remaining one. So the Gemara is going to say that Rabbi Tarfon changed his mind. Because before, Rabbi Tarfon said the better one goes to the coin. Over here, he's saying they split it evenly. So now Rabbi Tarfon suggesting that they evenly split it. When the one died, we assume that it's the Kohen's one, the Bechor, that died. And now the Kohen wants to extract this from you. He's got to prove that this is the one that is the Bechor. Zachar Nekeva, if this, you gave birth to Zachar Nekeva, kan lahen Kohen klum. There's nothing to the Kohen, because there's a possibility that the Nekeva came out first. If the Nekeva came out first, there is no Bechor here, and the Kohen's got to prove it. He's getting no less than what he's supposed to get. Right, he's getting no less. He has a claim, at least, at that amount. Again, he can't put it on his back. He can't bring it as a Bechor Tam in the Mikdash. It's possible that it's Chulin. He has to wait until Yirat Shistev. Both of them have to wait until Yirat Shistev. They have to both wait for a moment, because there's still Chashash that we don't know which one is the Bechor. But from a mammon standpoint, he has a claim at least at a minimum of the lower of the two animals. He might have a bigger claim, but he can't prove that. Say, Amrei de Beit Rabbi Yanai, the Rabbi Yosi Aglili, Shemini and Lei Damar, from Rabbi Yosi Aglili we heard that Efshar that Tzamtzem Bidei Shamayim. When it comes to natural phenomenon, we believe that you can be Mitzamtzem, and as the way Rashi explains it, They're not trying for this, but it's a natural occurrence. In Teva, you can have such a thing as simultaneous. So if he says that when it comes to things that are Bidei Shamayim, kosher can be Bidei Adam, then certainly, in human terms, in human hands, then for sure you can be Mitzamtzem, because they're trying. In Shamayim, where they don't try and you can be exact, and certainly when you're actually trying to get it to be exact, that you could get it to be exact. Now, Rabbana and Bidei Shamayim, Iyav Shalat Tzamtzem. The Rabbana already expressed their opinion by Iyav Shalat Tzamtzem, but that's Bidei Shamayim. So that's what I was saying to David. Now, let's look in the Gemara. The Gemara here says that the Rabbana's opinion of Iyav Shalat Tzamtzem is clear by Bidei Shamayim. Bidei Shamayim, it's an impossibility that you have Lid Tzimtzum according to Rashi and the Rambam, and according to Tosfot, there is a possibility, but it's just, we can't discern, we can't see it. As Tosfot says, El Hachik Amar, Yev Shalav Harer, Tzimtzum Shibidei Shemayim, Gon Leida, Tachach Hashem, Pnei Lav Harer. It's not enough time to check it out, L'dak Dek, Ezing Yatzat Tchila, we just don't have enough time. But, Bidei Adam, maybe Bidei Adam, where we do have enough time to discern, there could be some sort of exactitude here. There could be some sort of simultaneous happening. So that's what Gemara wants to know. Bidei Adam, right? What's the din? Bidei Adam, according to the Chachamim. Tashma. Let us say, by the Mizbeach, that says, Chuchos Tikrach will grow. You have this red line that goes around the Mizbeach. Be'emtza. In the middle of the Mizbeach. 5 amot from the bottom, 5 amot from the top. Labdil ben tamim helyonim, uben damim hatachtonim. To tell you which is the upper half of the Mizbeach and which is the lower half of the Mizbeach, because certain blood has to be placed on the upper half of the Mizbeach. Kagon, the Olat Ha'of, and the Chatat HaBehema. And there's certain bloods that have to go on the bottom, which is everything else. I mean, the Chatat Ha'of and all the other Korbanot have their blood that goes on the bottom half of the Mizbeach. So this line determines what's going on the upper half and what's going on the lower half. If you say it's impossible for human beings to get to an exactitude, but you can have a case here where if the line's not exactly in the middle, and he sprinkles the blood a little above the line, he might be actually doing it below. Or if he sprinkles the blood a little below the line, he might be actually be above, because we're not in the exact middle. So Gemara says, no, the mirvach ba-porta. It leaves a little space. I guess you could explain it two ways. The way Rashi explains mirvach porta is that they made this chuta sikra wide. They made it wide enough to get rid of the safek. That it's not, maybe the middle is not exact. I might be off by this much. What is the skew? What is the error that I could have? That error is the thickness I make the line. The chuta sikra encompasses that thickness. So whatever safek is encompassed in the chuta sikra itself. And therefore whatever you do above the chuta sikra is clearly above the middle. Whatever you do below is clearly below the middle. You could also explain it to mirvach porta is that he just sprinkles away from the middle line. The middle line's not thicker, but rather, he just gives himself more space. When he does it below, he does it way below the line. Does it above, he does it way above the line. He never does it exactly above or below the line, and therefore you're not going to come into this safek. But there we don't have a proof that bidei adam, that there is some sort of exactitude. So tashma, midat kelim, midat mizbeach. The Torah makes a demand on us to build a mizbeach with certain dimensions, to build a kelim, the shulchan, the menorah, with certain dimensions. So that sounds like the Torah says, make it this many amot, and we have to do it. So it sounds like we can be exact. We can. The Tamar makes that demand of us. Gemara says something interesting. Shani Hotam. The Rachman Amar, the Torah says, Avid, do it. Torah is not given to Malachi Asherait. The Torah asks us to do this. What it asks us to do is to do as best as we can. Do whatever you can. This is the guidelines by which you work. And you do the best to comply with those guidelines. So if you can't be exact, that's fine. And so many of the Rishonim apply this to things like tefillin, the ribua of tefillin, the fact that Halacha Moshe Mitzvah, the tefillin have to be squared, that doesn't mean that they have to be square to the minutia, that they have to be exact squares. It means it has to be square up to the point that you are capable of doing such a thing, of making it square. So that's the idea here, that if the Torah gives us such a command, that we comply as best as we can. Now the next thing is a quote from a pasuk which is not relevant to our Gemara. It's a quote b'chtav yad Hashem alai iskiel, which is that Hashem gave David HaMelech the blueprint for all the kelim in the Mikdash. So you could say that that was the measurements that they were demanding over here, Rashi says it doesn't belong in the Girsa. You could have gone to the Chumash. You don't need this pasuk for Navi. You could have it from the Mishkan. The Mishkan has measurements by all the Kelim. You could ask the question from there. I'm not sure if you really need the pasuk. And Rashi says, we don't put this pasuk. It's not relevant to us over here. Shita Mekubetzet, who says that you do keep the Girsa in, you'd have to say something along the lines that Akol Mutav, yeah, the Hashem Alayhi skill is that Hashem's involved in the process. Hashem gave the blueprint and Hashem's involved. There's some certain amount of Yata Dishmaya here that it could work. But that's not a general principle that of Eshel the Tzamtzim. Amram Katina Tashma. Kilkul Lishnayim. They cut it in half. We had this Gemara in the Chulin and the Orva Rotev, talking about an oven that is Tamei, and it's split it in half. Vein Shavin. And they have equal parts. Shnehem Tmeim. They're both Tamei. The Fishi Afshar the Tzamtzim. Because it's impossible to be Mitzamtzim. Well, it's impossible to be Mitzamtzim, so we don't know which side has the rove. Since we know which side has the rove, they're Tamei. Both of them are Tamei, Misafek, because we don't know which side has the rove. But you see here that it's impossible to be exact even in human terms. Here's a human being cutting an oven in half. A tanur of Kli Cheres. The only way to be Mitayer Kli Cheres is to break it. And over here is Shover it, but you have to Shover. Whichever side has the rove still is Tamei. So here he did exactly down the middle, and now he doesn't know which one's the rove. He has two exact pieces. Here the Gemara says they're both Tamei, because one of them for sure is the rove. If Shad Tzamtzim, and you just don't know which one's the rove. So Misafek, they're both still Tamei. So Gemara here says, no, Amar Rav Kahana Shani Kli Cheres, Ovi Yesh Bo Gumot. Kli Cheres never breaks smoothly. Kli Cheres isn't something that you make a laser cut through it and it splits in half. It's jagged. It breaks in a jagged manner. So there's very hard to be discerning, I mean, in human terms, to be able to cut and make it exactly equal. That's impossible. Not that it's impossible for human beings to be exact. It's the material that they're working with here. Working with Kli Cheres, you can't be exact. Because when it breaks, it doesn't break evenly. It leaves shards, it leaves jagged edges, and therefore you can't make such a cut. But in other materials, you could be a mitzamtzim. So Tashma, another case. Nimtza mikuvan ben shtei ayarot. A corpse is found exactly between two cities. Talking about here, the Egla Rufa. Shtehen mebiot shtei agalot divrei Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer says, you bring two. Each city brings an Egla Rufa. My time, huh? What's the reason? La mishum de kasar, videi adam, efshar letzamtzim. You can be exact in human terms. Vikrova v'afilu krovot. Because it says in the pasuk that ha'ira krova, the city that is closest, will, elaklal, will bring the Egla Rufa. So he says krova doesn't literally mean only one in the singular, but krova, whichever city is closest, it could be multiple cities, even krovot. So here you have two cities that are exactly equidistant from the halal, and so they'll both bring Egla Rufa. They're going to bring an Egla Rufa because they're both Chayavin, according to Rabbi Eliezer, because you can be Mitzamtzim. Mitzamtzim bidei Adam. And therefore, when they measured it, they both measured it, they measured it exactly in both directions, and they're equal. Though, Rabbi Eliezer Savar, Lok, Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Eliezer, there's no question from Rabbi Eliezer, because he also Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Damar, Efshar, Litzamtzim bidei Shemayim, Vechoshekein bidei Adam. Since he, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, says in our Mishnah, you can be Efshar, Litzamtzim bidei Shemayim. Bidei Adam Koshekin. So that's what Rabbi Eliezer is a derivative of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Just like you can be Mitzamtzim Bidei Shemayim, so too you can be Mitzamtzim Bidei Adam. And so, yes, you brought a proof that there's Efshar Litzamtzim, but you brought it from Rabbi Eliezer, who's in Shita Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Our question is in the Shita Chachamim. In the Chachamim, who say that Bidei Shemayim, you can't be Mitzamtzim, maybe Bidei Adam you can't, that doesn't address that issue. Neima Kitanai, let us say this is a Machok Etanayim. If it was found exactly, the halal, the corpse is found exactly between the two cities, lo ayu orfim, period. Rabbi says, you bring two, one for each city, an egla roof of each city. My love, ba'akamifugis, with argument, the Tanakh, Masari, Efshar, Litzamtzim. It's impossible to be Mitzamtzim. Rabbi Lezer Savar, Efshar, Litzamtzim. You can't be exact. V'tisbara, does that make sense to explain the machloka that way? Ikazara tanakama, yefshar letzamtzim. If he holds you cannot be exact, amai lo ayu orfim. Why did you do an egla rufa here? You view egla achat b'shutafut. That they will bring a joint egla rufa, the two cities. We can't, fine, you can't figure it out. We know that. Yefshar letzamtzim. But at least bring one. Here the tanakama says don't bring any egla rufa. Bring one. And then there'll be v'yitnu. Don't make a tznai between them. Whoever has to bring the Egla Rufa here will give over the ownership to that city. According to these Tanaim, the Kulei Alma Efshar Litzamtzim. Everybody agrees. And that bright that we just brought, Efshar Litzamtzim B'dei Adam. V'halcha, so what's their machlokes about? B'krova v'lo krovot kamiflegei. It's a question of whether we take the Torah exact. Do we say that when the Torah says, V'ira krova ila halal, the city that's closest to the halal, it wrote it in the singular, krova. So do we say it means singular, only one city and not multiple cities? That's the Tanakama Savar Krovavalo Krovot. Tanakama believes that when it says Krovah means only one city. If you have multiple cities that are just as close, equal distance, Efshar the Tzamzein, no Egla Rufa. Rabbi Lezer Savar Krovah Vafilu Krovot. Krovah is just an example. It's the normal case. But if you have multiple cities that are close by, meaning that they're equal distant, they will both bring Egla Rufa. So my Havi Allah, what's the din? Amar Rabbi Chiyar Barabin Amar Rav Amram Tana Nimtza Mikuvan Ben Shtei Arot. Found exactly between two cities, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Shteyem Mivil Shteyagalot, V'chamim Armim Yavil Elagla Achat V'shutafut, V'yitnu. They bring it in partnership, and they make a Tanai. Maika Savi Rabbanan. What do the Rabbanan hold in this case? Ika Savi Rabbanan Defshar L'tzamtzim. You can't be exact V'krova Afilu Krovot. And you could even bring it, if it was multiple cities, Laitei Tarti, bring two. V'krova V'lo Krovot. And if you say that only one city, not multiple cities, can bring it, like the Tanakhama before, they shouldn't bring even one. Elalav Shmamina. Conclusion is Kasabri Rabbanan E Efshar L'tzamtzim V'Afilu Bidei Adam Shmamina. Conclusion of the Gemara is that the opinions are consistent. If you can be Mitzamtzim in Bidei Shemayim, you can also be Mitzamtzim Bidei Adam. Shitat Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Chachamim who say Efshar L'tzamtzim Bidei Shemayim says also Efshar L'tzamtzim Bidei Adam. Now here on the second half of this Bidei Adam, we have the same machlokas, just like before we said by Shemayim, when we say Eivshar and Efshar L'tzamtzim, Rashi and the Rambam believed Eivshar means it's impossible. So just like by when we say Eivshar L'tzamtzim Bidei Shemayim means it's impossible, so too by humans, Bidei Adam, Eivshar L'tzamtzim according to them means it's impossible. Human beings can't reach that exactitude. They can't reach that exact split. On the other hand, Tosafot, who says that Eivshar L'tzamtzim means it's just something that we cannot grapple with as humans, but it's possible to have exactitude like this. Tosafot will say, Bidei Adam, it's also possible. Possible, but not likely. And that's the Shita Tosafot. It's a very important part of the Shita of the Tosafot over here, which is, it's very unlikely. We are not choshesh for that possibility. It's such a far-fetched possibility that a person could actually come out with the exact split that we're not choshesh. For instance, and Tosafot gives examples of these types of cases that there are questions about whether it was exactly even, if it was exactly even, it would cause us a problem. We say, don't worry about it. We don't worry about it being exactly even because it's a far-fetched case. It's a miyut she'enu matsui, something that, you know, it can't, it's possible, but so far-fetched that it should not be in our purview of discussion or safek when we deal with sfeikot. So that's the way Tosfot will learn that it is efshar l'tzamtzim bidei adam. Again, it's possible, but unlikely. Tosfot over here discusses about the halacha. What's the din l'halacha? So Tosfot says, we paskin like the Chachamim for sure, Bidei Shemayim, that Eivshar L'tzamtzim. But Bidei Adam, Tosfot over here, according to the Ri, says that we paskin like the Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Bidei Adam, that it's Eivshar L'tzamtzim, and the Halacha will be like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Bidei Adam, that it is Eivshar L'tzamtzim. Even though the Gemara over here concludes that the Chachamim say Eivshar L'tzamtzim, nevertheless, he brings a slew of memorot throughout Shas, which seems to indicate that we hold like Rabbi Yossi Aglili when it's Bidei Adam. That's the Ri. On the other hand, there's a Rabbeinu Shimon that's mentioned in the Tosafot that disagrees and says that we pass like the Chachamim across the board, that Eivshar L'tzamtzim, Bidei Shemayim, and Bidei Adam. And then he goes to explain the other cases in Shas as being Sfeikot. Therefore, we are Choshesh for the Sfeik in certain instances, depending if it's a Doraita or a Derabbanan. He has another way of explaining all these other issues that we bump into to Shas. So that'll be come down. Again, the Machloket we saw in the Rishonim, both Bidei Shemayim, Bidei Adam, which is Eivshar L'tzamtzim, what does that mean? Does that mean impossible, or does it mean possible, but humans can't deal with it, or it's unlikely within the human realm? And the other thing we saw was, how do we paskin? Do we paskin Bidei Adam that it's Efshar L'tzamtzim or not? As a machloket in the Tosfot between the Ri and the Rabbeinu Shimon. Okay, we'll stop with that.